El Paso native Ruben Cubillos is a self-described cultural and Tejano activist, creative director, and musician. He was a former lead singer of the iconic group The Latin Breed, and since 1985, he's created about 150 covers for musical artists and Tejano icons like Little Joe and Selena, for whom he designed her cursive logo signature. Today, my guest is Ruben Cubillos. Welcome to State of the Arts.
Kiule, how are you? Thank you for the invite.
I'm just glad I stumbled upon you. My friend Dave is a journalist here in El Paso, and he had written a story about you. And I'm like, how did I not know that the Selena logo was created by a cool guy from El Paso?
Are you talking about Dave Acosta?
I'm talking about Dave Acosta.
Yeah, I've never met him, but we have talked on the phone, and I follow him on Facebook, so the guy's a cool guy. He's done a lot of things too, you know?
Yeah, yeah. So tell us your story. I mean, we're going to get into the Selena thing in the second half, but I want to hear about you first.
Well, I'm just like anybody else. I'm from a middle-class family. I went to school in Isleta. I graduated in 1974. Pero like anything else, music was a big story behind my story. My grandparents would get together right after dinner and smoking a cigarette in the outside and in the porch, and then sing a couple of songs. No guitars, no nothing, everything a cappella. My grandparents would remember these songs and they do harmonies with each other. And I found that kind of intriguing. You know, that left something in my brain. And then through the years, we lived in Canutillo, which is right outside El Paso. And once you pass a certain point right there at the west side of the mountains, there was no more, you know, KLP. You could hear that. You turn off the radio. Here we are. We have a family car, 52 Chevy. And my mom and I would start singing. And we do. She teach me some songs, and I do a harmony with her. And so I love that. You know, time would pass. We'd get home, whatever. I already had a little bit of a singing thing going on. And then we moved to Isleta, like anybody else, get together for the family parties and bring out the guitars and so on and so forth. Well, we decided to put a garage band together called the Blue Knights. You know, that was kind of take us to stardom.
Nice.
We literally were a garage band for a while. And in the world of music in El Paso, you always graduated from the garage band to the quinceañera band to the wedding band to the opening act of a mainstream artist that was coming through town at the Coliseum, so on and so forth. So at every level, I was not only a fan of music, and I was listening to everything. I was listening to Creedence. I was listening to Santana. But at the same time, you know, my grandparents grew up with listening to Los Alegres de Terán, Los Relámpagos. You know, they were a big deal. Mm-hmm. So the influence was always constant, you know, coming back and forth. And then you go to the mercado and people would be serenading you, and that's where you learn La Bamba and so on and so forth. So it was already planted in me. And during one of those sessions where I actually got to work with a band called Mestizo that we put together, you know, doing the bazaar thing and so on and so forth, it started generating a little bit more of attention and more seriousness out of me. And we did this opening stuff for sending the Sunliners and the Latin Breed and maybe some Little Joe. And it just planted a seed in me, you know, that it was like, this was feeling good. This is a good direction. 2 or 3 years passed. I was very proactive. I'd go and to the Coliseum whenever they're setting up. Bands always get there, you know, before time to set up all their gear and stuff. And I start making friends, you know, with like drummers and horn players and so on and so forth. These guys never knew my name. They just knew, hey, it's a guy from the Red Van, you know. So I really didn't mind, and I didn't care, because I was one of them. You know, I was able to absorb and get something out of them. And they were telling me the stories of Little Joe or some musicians or whatever. That was my learning session right there. Well, through the years, as some of these guys grew to be their own stars, you know, they were, I remember specifically Gibby Escobedo and Charlie De Leon, two horn players for Sonny. They went off to be part of the Latin Breed, The more they knew me, the better. I met up with a family there in El Paso, the Martinez family, and they were very tight with them. Always talking about me, so on and so forth, kind of dropping a hint, you know. I could see it. I could see, you know, if there were ever an opportunity, would I take it? I said, absolutely. Yeah, you know, that was my conversation with myself. Well, that day did come. It's kind of weird because the day that it did come, I was already signed up to go to UTEP. You know, I was going to be the first guy in my family to go to college and take the arts. You know, I was going to be whatever. You know, there was no real thing I wanted to do. But I started getting into art appreciation and painting and piano and karate. And I was like, what am I doing here? This is not where I belong. This is not for me. So by the time that I'm getting ready to start the first semester, I see my parents come to the university. And I'm like, what are you guys doing here? He says, well, we got a call from Gibby. Gibby was the band leader at the time for the Latin Breed. And he wanted to know if you can join him tomorrow in Colorado.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, absolutely. So I excused myself, you know, gave all my papers back, and I said, I'm out of here. And the guy's saying, are you leaving? I said, yeah, I'm leaving.
You're like, I'm going on tour. And your parents were cool with it? They weren't like, no, mijo, stay in school? Or
no, they were cool with it. I had been doing construction already. So they already knew my passion, what it was, and they recognized it. And they knew I had some kind of a talent for art, but I just didn't know the final direction, you know.
Yeah.
Back in my generation, it was just good enough to say, no, tú tienes que ir a la escuela, you know, y te vas a educar, and this and that. And it sounded great, but unless you know you have a map and where you're going, it means nothing. You know, there was nothing there. So I could not really stand for wasting money. You know, I really wanted to do something with my life. I'm 18, 19 years old at this time. I've already worked construction. I could already see myself, you know, learning a trade, having a family, and there's my life. Okay. And yeah. All in a nutshell. And I said, there's got to be more for me. So anyway, I got to San Antonio through all kinds of different things that happened. And that's when it all came together. In the late 80s, I moved to San Antonio in 1980. And then by 82, 83 is when things just started going fast, like a train, you know. Tejano Music Awards was born. Latin Breed wasn't recording, but we were performing. We got on a little bit of a tour with a young lady by the name of Lisa Lopez. Mm-hmm. And then we played with everybody. We played with Little Joe. We played with Laura Canales, you know. You get to go to Houston, you get to go to Dallas the next day, the Valley, so on and so forth. So now I'm exposed to a whole other side of Texas that I had never seen before. It was awesome. I was barely making the rent. I did have a Chevy van that I had already paid off. But more importantly, I was in a band. That was like, man, that was gold.
So how do you go from band to designing albums?
Well, bands were always doing t-shirts, okay? Yeah. So I remember being in El Paso and going to the art store there and buying one of these kits to do t-shirts. So when I was with Mestizo, I would do my own t-shirts and stuff like that. So I was a little bit of an entrepreneur, but more than anything, I was a curious swagger, you know, a guy who's telling his swag out there. So I knew that there was something there. I just never knew the difference between graphic art and commercial art. Back then, we had real boring names to things, you know. What's this, done on those commercial arts? It's like, what does that mean, you know?
Right.
I knew I wasn't going to be a sculptor or a painter. But I had to get into something that I wanted. That's when I started noticing things happening as far as doing art and doing music and multitasking. Gibby owned a company called Texas Talent Traffic. I went to his office one day waiting for him, and looking around, I found a calendar to the Art Institute of Houston. Boom, it got me like a hook. You know, like I was hooked on it. Two semesters later, I go and travel, and I put a little portfolio together on stuff that I had done myself through a couple of friends on a sign company. And they said, yeah, man, you're ready to go. In fact, you could skip a couple of semesters. I said, nope, I want to go to the beginning. I want to make sure that I learn when somebody comes to me and they say, you know how to do a brochure? It's like, yes, I do. I'm not going to fake it.
Right.
So that's how the art hooked me and everything else started, you know, popping into place, you know, learning the other side of the world, which is graphic design.
And that segues us perfectly into our next segment, where we'll talk about all the album artwork that you worked on, including the development of Selena's infamous logo. We'll be right back with Ruben Cubillos here on State of the Arts.